Okay. Really? Christmas.
Snow's coming down.
82. Good.
Ready now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Fucking hell.
Sorry, not enough time to think of mum jokes or something.
I wouldn't be so rude.
Mm-hmm.
You started it. You always start.
Oh, do I? Do I?
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I don't know why you look at me like that.
Right, shall we?
Yeah, that's what she said. This rudeness has got to stop. Hello!
Great start.
Should do that again. I got a froggy in my throat. Hello! And welcome to episode 68 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Yes, I'm Matt.
And I'm Darren.
And this week we are looking at First Blood. What was so funny about First Blood?
Oh, it's a silly title. Don't you think it's a silly title?
I thought it was Rambo First Blood.
Right.
But it's not, is it?
It sounds to me like when you're in primary school and all the girls got taken away for the afternoon.
Oh, no, Darren. Seriously? That really didn't take long. We're not even a minute into the episode.
No, I know. Oh, fuck you, Brit. We'll get complaints for that. Anyway, yes. I'm just being honest.
Oh, well, there we are. I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy.
Fucking hell. Right, anyway, yes. First Blood, 1982.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone. Another one of his films. How many have we done now? Is it two or three?
We've done Rocky IV.
Is that it?
I think there's more.
I can't remember.
It's been a long ride. And also, yes, we have had episodes out the last few weeks, but we haven't recorded one in a while.
Not for a long time.
No, so it's a little bit like sex, isn't it? You know, I mean, I think if you haven't done it for a while, you can sort of remember the process and you just hope for the best.
And it's over very quick, so this might be a short episode.
Right.
Anyway, yes. Fucking hell. A good week.
Yeah, good few weeks. How about yourself?
Nice and quiet this week, actually. I had a couple of gigs at the weekend, which was nice, but nice, relaxing week, and I've very much enjoyed it.
Good.
You?
Good. Well, yeah, I've had lots of Halloween-y gigs and things like that. So yeah,
Halloween-y?
Yeah. Halloween-y.
Halloween-y.
And yeah, just getting ready for Christmas.
Ooh, that big... Well, no, I'm not going to say that.
No!
No. Oh, fucking hell. Anyway, yes. Shall we crack on?
Let's do that.
Let's go back to 1982, shall we?
All right, Daz, here are some facts from 1982. So, it came out in December 1982. So, some of the films that I found that were charting at the time. So, in the Americas.
The land.
I was going to say in the US, right? But then I was like, no, America. In the Americas. No, in America. So, the top five. So, number five in the chart, E.T. Yeah, we covered that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Officer and a Gentleman was number four.
Oh, that's on the list, isn't it?
And number three, I'd never heard of this, Monsignor.
Yeah. I want to say that's... No, it's not.
All right.
Is it Richard... No.
I know Christopher Reeve is in it.
No, maybe that's where I'm getting confused. Yeah, I thought it was the guy from Walton's, but I think that might be... that's the thought, but move on.
Okay, number two, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
Which we've still got to do.
Yes,
we've been asked to do it, so that's on the list. We will do it.
And at number one...
Yeah.
First Blood.
Okay.
We went in at number one.
Not the, the instruction.
No.
Leave it.
And in the UK, so again, early 80s, it's difficult to find the number five and four, but number three was The Entity.
Ah, okay. That's interesting. Have you ever seen that?
No, is it
good? Oh, it's good. Well, from what I remember, it was good.
Okay.
Well, it was a long time ago I saw it. It's basically a woman in trouble with a poltergeist.
Oh.
Supposedly based on a true story.
Uh-huh.
And there's a very disturbing rape scene from what I remember. Yeah.
Okay.
Very violent film, yeah.
And what? The poltergeist brings us nightly answer number two, which is The Poltergeist.
Okay.
So, yeah. And number one was Tron.
Now, that's a film I've not seen probably since its release.
Yeah, I've not watched it in a while. I've watched the sequel, and I don't know, I think it was okay.
Right.
It's something I would need to go back to Tron, I think. But.
Yeah, okay.
And funny enough, when I started doing this list, I was sort of messing about with Abyss stuff as well, which was released a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. started doing all my facts in the wrong year. And
okay.
I was like, hang on a second, these charts look familiar. Mm. And some of these facts look really familiar. And I was like, yeah, idiot, yeah. You're doing the wrong year. Okay. Anyway, some facts from 1982 as well. Electronic Arts was founded, EA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. So that was 1982. We were first.
That's the game company. Yeah.
EA. It's in the game. We were first treated to the BFG. 1982 was when that book first came out.
Oh, good old Roald Dahl.
Yeah. That year at the Oscars, Chariots of Fire won the best film.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Not one of my favourites, though,
I've never seen it.
Okay.
But I know, obviously, that very famous bit of music.
Yeah.
Also, the first episode of Late Night with David Letterman came out, and that was February of 1982. And the show's first guests were Bill Murray and Don Herbert.
Yeah.
And finally, obviously, you know, you get, especially now, a whole host of celebrities that are born that year. So a little handpicking were Anne Hathaway.
Oh, okay.
Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, of course, the wonderful Billie Piper.
Oh, God bless her.
Yeah. 1982 she was born. Okay, so yeah, those are some facts of 1982. So how about we go into the charts?
First Blood was released in the USA on the 22nd of October 1982. And so this week we are looking at the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 17th of October 1982. At number 10 this week, falling 4 places from last week's number 6, it's Jackie Wilson Served by Dexy's Midnight Runners. At number 9, rising 6 places from last week's 15, it's Annie, I'm Not Your Daddy by Kid Creole and the Coconuts. And it's a rise of 19 places from last week's 27 to this week's number 8 for Pinkies and Danger Games. Rising 3 places from last week's number 10 to this week's number 7, it's Lifeline from Spandau Ballet. And falling out of last week's top 5 to this week's number 6, it's Hard to Say I'm Sorry by Chicago. Rising 9 places from last week's 14 to this week's number 5, it's Love Me Do 1982 from the Beatles. And last week's number 3 is this week's number 4, it's Zoom by Fat Larry's Band. Last week's number 4 is this week's number 3, it's Star Maker from the Kids from Fame. And last week's number 1 is this week's number 2, it's Pass the Dutchie from Musical Youth. Which means there's a new number 1 this week, up from last week's number 2, it's Culture Club and Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? And that was the UK top 10 for the week commencing the 17th of October, 1982. Oh. Very good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few there that you know. I'm sure. I'm telling you.
No, there's two.
Two.
Two that if you actually said to me.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know Zoom, Fat Larry's Band? Oh, that's a great
don't know.
Song. We'll have to have a listen to that later. Past the Dutchie.
Yeah. So it's number 1 and number 2, I knew.
You don't know Star Maker from... Musical Youth.
Come on, sing it.
Star Maker Musical Youth. Kids from Fame. Star Maker. It's a great one.
Nope.
Okay. Love Me Do by the Beatles, surely. Love Me
Do.
Oh,
yeah.
You'll definitely know Hard to Say I'm Sorry by Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah,
grand.
Annie, I'm Not Your Daddy. I've seen Kid Creole.
Also, though.
Yeah.
So I was looking at December. You looked at October?
Well,
where was it released in October then?
First released in the USA on the 22nd of October.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me.
Where were you looking?
Wikipedia. So there we go. Oh. That's my fault.
Oh, okay then. Yeah, if you look on IMDb, it has the release dates of all the countries in order.
Ah.
Fuck's sake. Anyway, just outside the top 10, one that we've seen done live, Reap the Wild Wind from Ultravox at number 12.
Oh, yeah.
Just What I Always Wanted from Mari Wilson at 14. Mad World from Tears for Fears at 16. Should I Stay or Should I Go from The Clash at 17.
Now, was that released again in the 90s or 2000s? Because I've got it on tape somewhere.
I'm pretty sure it was early 90s, and I think it was used on a jeans advert.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Back on the Chain Gang at 22 from The Pretenders. Life in Tokyo from Japan at 28.
Oh, I think I really like that.
It's a great, great song. At 32, one of the best songs ever, Eye of the Tiger from Survivor.
I don't know it.
Do you know? Okay. And The Bitterest Pill at 40, from The Jam.
So, okay.
Yeah, so that's not a bad top 40, actually, no, for an early 80s.
And yeah, I was expecting worse because early 80s, I'm just like,
Yeah, yeah.
It's songs that I know when I hear them, but I couldn't... If you gave me the title and said, sing it, here's £1 million, I'd be like, sorry. Yeah. I'd certainly try, but...
For £1 million, I'd pretty much do anything.
So if you want to rent Darren out for a couple of weeks...
If you want to whore me out...
Yeah, all you got to do is email podcast at 80s Adventure and we will negotiate the £1 million fee.
Email dirtytramp at 80s... What? Anyway, yes, let's move on.
Right, yeah, I suppose that now we've done the charts. Let's see if we can go...
Well,
it has been a while, Darren. Yes. So let's see if you can complete your five-step challenge. If you are just joining us for the first time, Darren has a challenge every single week where he has five steps to get, well, starts with five steps and four steps, three steps to go from last week's film to this week's film. This week's film, Darren has four steps. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Right. So you have four steps to get from last week's film, which is...
Bachelor Party.
You loved that. To this week's film, which is...
First Blood.
Okay. Can it be done?
Let's find out. Okay, as we said, last week's film was Bachelor Party and this week's is First Blood. So we start with Bachelor Party and one of the stars of Bachelor Party was Adrian Zemed. So, step one. Adrian Zemed was in Campsite Massacre with Daryl Hannah. Step two. Daryl Hannah was in High Spirits with Liz Smith. Step three. Liz Smith was in A French Lieutenant's Woman with Richard Griffiths. And step four, Richard Griffiths was in Gorky Park with Brian Dennehy. And that's the four-step challenge.
Ah, nice. And you didn't go an obvious route either with Tom Hanks and Daryl Hannah. And nice.
Yeah, and I had to put in Gorky Park.
Yeah, okay. So let's briefly explain Gorky Park, shall we? So
crack on.
So in the song Scorpions, Wind of Change, one of the lines is what? Followed
them as one down to Gorky Park.
Followed them as one down to Gorky Park. So my misheard lyric growing up was, followed them our squire, I don't know what that means, down to Gonky Pong.
Gonky Pong for me is just
Gonky Pong.
Genius.
It's like, it's a lyric. I'm like, well, yeah, down to Gonky Pong.
Which I think is a much better lyric.
What the fuck is Gonky Pong?
I don't know.
I thought it might be a place.
Or it sounds like a game.
It does. Down to Gonky Pong.
Oh, fucking brilliant.
Thank you for putting Gorky Park in there. Yeah.
Not a problem, my friend.
Oh, dear.
Right then, now we've done that bit. I guess we should talk about First Blood and initial reactions, I suppose.
First Blood, first impressions.
Yeah, it's an even-numbered episode, so I'll go first, if you like.
Yeah.
I was expecting something very much like a sort of 80s Arnie film or what you'd expect from an action movie. I knew nothing about this film. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, both of us then?
Yeah, and it completely was not what I was expecting. I'm sure I've seen First Blood Part 2, Rambo First Blood, the second, obviously the sequel. And I think that does become much more of a sort of Arnie shoot 'em up, silly, over-the-top, great action movie. But this was totally not what I was expecting. And I think because of that, it took me a little while to get into it and get my head around it. But I really liked it. Really liked it. It's got a real honesty, a real heart to it. Yeah. So, yeah, okay. I liked it, yeah. Yeah, that's my initial impression.
Okay. Yeah, slightly similar. So I think it does very much start like an 80s action film. And I thought this is great.
Mm.
It's got the tropes, you know where you're going. And then it turned later on and you're like, oh my God. And there were hints of that throughout. And after watching it, I did read that, the subsequent films get a little bit more, as you say,
what you'd expect from Max. Yeah.
He becomes a superhuman essentially. But this, it was gritty. It was, there was a lot to like about this film. Mm-hmm. And I remember I texted you, I was about half an hour, 40 minutes in. I was like, I'm really enjoying this. And I did. On the whole, I really enjoyed it. It was good. It was Yeah, I think, I suppose, a bit like yourself, not what I was expecting. I was expecting more, you know, not to get too much into it, but, you know, the whole end, if it was made now or made subsequently, he would have been firing against like a million different bad guys in town. Exactly. And, you know, he'd walk out victorious and maybe it'd start snowing or something like that.
He'd get the girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course he would. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, trying to get sexy time into this film. I mean, that's.
Well, yeah. I mean, good luck with that.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Good. Well, that's our initial reactions. Should we take a break, top off our glasses, empty our vessels?
Empty our vessels?
I don't know.
I mean, this is proving to be a very random episode.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
And we're back. Part two of Darren and Matt's Aces Adventure, where we are looking at Rambo. Well, yeah.
First Bow. Anyway, yes, long-time listeners to the podcast will know that at this point in the podcast, Matt has a challenge to give us the synopsis of the movie, and he has as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, Mr. Matthew, how long was the film?
It was 1 hour and 33 minutes.
93 minutes. So you have 93 seconds or 1 minute, 33 seconds.
Easy for you to say.
Apparently not. To give us the synopsis of the film, are you ready?
I am indeed.
Then let's have the jingu. And if you're still ready, go.
Rambo heads to see a friend from Vietnam, but upon arriving finds out he died a year ago, so he then goes walkabout and ends up in a town called Hope. There, the sheriff, who is a prick and probably not getting any sexy time at home, decides to be a dick to him while driving and drove him to the outskirts of town. Rambo doesn't like this and starts to walk back to town where the sheriff arrests him, and while the sheriff's men are trying to shave, yes, shave him, he has a flashback and kicks their asses. He then escapes and steals a motorbike, while the sheriff is in hot pursuit. He makes it to a forest area, and this is where he thrives, don't you know? The sheriff calls for backup, and the hunt for Rambo begins. He's doing well to evade capture till he gets to a cliff where one of the sheriff's men in a chopper tries to shoot him. Evidently, the town is full of dicks. He throws a rock, and the sheriff's man is killed falling from a chopper. He tries to reason with the sheriff, but no dice. The sheriff and his men are incapacitated by Rambo, who tells him to back the fuck off. They regroup and they're joined by a Colonel Sam Troutman, who used to command Rambo, and tells them basically, you're fucked. They ignore this and they pursue anyway. The National Guard end up trapping Rambo in a mine, who then escapes and heads to town to get the sheriff. He blows a lot of shit up and he's about to kill the sheriff when the Colonel shows up and Rambo breaks down and lets us know what's going on inside. He then surrenders and is escorted out by the Colonel, and it looks like Rambo is going to prison, but one can't help but think that this whole situation could have been avoided if Rambo had called ahead to his friend before setting off. Just saying.
Okay. Right. Okay, nice shoehorning in of sexy time.
Well, I had no choice. There was zero sexy time in that
And
film.
I have to agree, the town is full of dicks because there are no fucking women in this film.
No, there are.
But
no,
anyway.
No, there are not two.
Right, anyway, yes. So just remind us, how long was the film?
1:33.
So you have 1 minute 33 seconds. You did it in, drum roll, 1:32.85.
Oh, shit!
Pretty much 1/10 of a second under. That's the closest yet. That was almost bang on. I was so hoping it was going to happen. Nice, nice.
I've had a pound for every time I heard that.
Still too quick.
Only just.
I was so close. I'm going to drink.
Okay. So yeah, that's it in a bit of a synopsis.
Yeah, abso-frickin-lutely. I guess then we don't fanny around anymore. We just crack straight on and tear this film to shreds. There's a lot to talk about with this, isn't there?
There is. I've got a few alternate castings before
Lovely
we jump
old
in.
Jubblies, as they say in the Doodle.
A lot of people were considered for Rambo. Like, I think half of Hollywood. Yeah. So, Al Pacino, but he turned it down.
Cappuccino.
Yeah, a cappuccino, because he wanted to be Rambo more of a madman.
Mm-hmm.
Clint Eastwood and Robert De Niro. Jeff Bridges, Michael Douglas, Paul Newman, Nick Nolte, Ryan O'Neill. John Travolta. And okay. It was Staying Alive as well that Stallone directed, and I think he thought Travolta would be good after that because he really bulked up for Staying Alive. And at one point, apparently the studio wanted Kris Kristofferson for Rambo, Gene Hackman as the sheriff, and Lee Marvin as the colonel. And did you know?
Well, I don't know.
Kirk Douglas was originally the colonel, but left because of creative differences.
Yeah. Didn't he turn up with like three different endings he thought were good?
Yeah, where his character ended up like,
And wasn't it something stupid, like the Friday before they started filming, that they basically went, no, we'll just go with the script. He went, well, I'm out of here then.
Yeah, that's terrible. And finally, according to Stallone, Burt Reynolds liked the part of the colonel and would have played him had he been approached to.
Oh, yes, I did read that, but he thought he was too big a star
to even ask him, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, what a different film that this would have been. I mean, I can see Gene Hackman as the sheriff, though.
Yeah?
I mean, Gene Hackman can really play a dick.
But to be fair, Brian Dennehy is fucking awful.
Oh, he's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
But he's also... Anyway, we'll get into that. Okay, yeah. What about for any of the female leads? Any alternatives? Funnily enough, no. Right. Okay, let's get into it. So is that the alternative?
That's the casting. Yeah.
Right. As I said in the sum up earlier, I really wasn't sure what to expect. But because of that, it came as a surprise that it wasn't what I was expecting in an 80s action movie. And I like the fact that it's got a real heart to it, a real message to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on a novel by David Morrell from 1972. And as you were saying during the alternatives, there were so many different attempts different teams to make this into a film, weren't there? The ones that I saw, a few of the ones that I saw, Sidney Pollack was directing with Steve Martin and Burt Lancaster.
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
As Rambo?
Steve McQueen. That's Steve Martin. I'm sure you could.
I was going to say Steve Martin.
Definitely not Steve Martin. Steve McQueen. Sorry, I can't read my own fucking writing. Mike Nichols with Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, that would be interesting.
And John Frankenheimer with Brad Davis. But there were so many different attempts to make this into a film.
Do you think this went through like a Die Hard process? You know, because Die Hard had been on the cards for years and years and years. And I think, wasn't Sinatra attached to be in it at one point?
He was, from what I remember. But yeah, I think the company, one of the film companies paid $75,000 for it. And then another one wanted it for $125,000or sold it on or something like that. So there were many attempts to make it. From what I could see from the budget, it was originally $15 million, but that rose to $17 million-ish.
I mean, that's a drop in the water nowadays,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. But it rose to $17 million after a few delays and things. But it took, in box office alone, over $125 million.
Yeah.
That's a very nice return.
But what kind of films do that sort of money nowadays? Because, all right, you'd look at something like Avengers Endgame or whatever else, you know, the billion-dollar films, they still cost $200 million to make.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, to get
this
sort of return.
I guess with international sales, because it was one of the first big films to make it in Japan, I think, or China.
Oh, yes, but I understand. Again, this is from notes I looked at a little while ago. I think it didn't open maybe China until probably 85?
Yeah, and they weren't allowed to show him with his top off, I think, in Korea.
Okay.
So over in Asia, it did very, very well in Asia. So I'm guessing, basically, you know, from a $15/$17 million budget, it took 10 times that back.
I mean, I bet they're glad that Kirk Douglas didn't kill him in the end and drive off wearing his headband or something like that. That's a good chunk of change, isn't it?
Yeah, but to be fair, I think that's fair. It is a good film.
It's no Nico,
thank God for that. it varies from the book, apparently, in the fact that Teasel, it was apparently a Korean War veteran, and was angry about the fact that Vietnam veterans had all this stuff about PTSD and blah, 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 and thought it's very sort of old school war. You come home, you get a job and fucking get on with it.
Okay.
And when the Vietnam vets came back, it was all, we've got this stress disorder, blah, 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 blah. And that's, because I was unsure at first until I read up on stuff, why he was such a dick. And when he mentions the flag on his chest, I'm not overly au fait with American history and things like that. I thought, is this a Confederate thing? Because I've heard stuff about Confederate flags and blah, 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 blah. Mm.
Well, no, it wasn't the Confederate flag.
Exactly.
Right?
So I'm not sure what that was all about, really. But why was he such a fucking asshole to
him? That was it. But I think the whole stuff, well, I mean, it's talked about, isn't it? It was that whole... I think either Stallone said it in the film. He either said it in the film or it's something else I've watched recently. It's about coming home and people in the airport, you know, being horrible.
He said it in the film.
They were
spat on. He was spat on.
And he'd been
that
out there
fighting.
That was
one of the lines I could actually understand he was fucking saying.
So I think that's, you know, you obviously had this sheriff who was, you know, very much on the side of the people that were kind of going, oh, well.
Shut the fuck up, get on with it, basically. Yeah. I mean, obviously now, 40 years later, or 45, 50 years later after Vietnam, PTSD and mental health is a very, very big thing now, isn't it? It's much more understood and sympathetically looked at. But this is, I mean, if this is based on facts, we weren't there, so we don't know. But if this is based on facts, it's fucking horrendous.
Did you literally just say that?
What?
We weren't there, you don't know.
Ah! Oh, well, thanks for pointing that out. You don't know. You weren't there.
Right, so, yeah.
But
I genuinely thought, I was like, oh, he's done that very suddenly.
Anyway. I didn't do that tongue-in-cheek. I really didn't.
But no, you're right.
I should have said, yes, I did.
But that's the thing. The sheriff is... It is hard to understand why he is such a prick. Because
straight off the bat, though.
The guy's walking down the road.
Mm. Where can I get something to eat? 30 miles that way. Okay. It's like that, is it?
Yeah. Get the fuck out of my town. I'll give you a ride. And he's so nice about it, but false nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't have got in that fucking... I'd be like, no, I'm all right.
Okay, you either get in the car or I'll shoot you. Basically, that's what's going to happen. He's a fucking dick. But he's played so well. He's vulnerable as well, isn't he? And I like that. He's not an out-and-out screaming madman fucking asshole baddie. And I like the fact that Brian Dennehy is such a good actor. He's so multi-layered.
Also, I think they did something very clever at the beginning, though, where it showed just the briefest of him driving out of the station, whatever else, the way he knew everybody and was the big man around town, swinging his dick. So therefore, he had that ego that he couldn't back off.
I can't remember what he says, but it's something like, all right, Brian, you're going to stay sober this weekend?
Get yourself a bath.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. He is a prick. But they're all pricks. It seems to me the police are pricks.
By the one ginger guy who's meant to be the nice kid. But...
Yeah. Hang on. We don't do it like this, surely.
Mm.
A goat is a fucking dickhead.
I mean, and he's the only one that dies, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I guess he spares everybody. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing the guys in the police car that chased him when he was driving the army truck didn't come off too well.
A couple of scrapes, they walked away.
But they were trying to shoot him.
Yeah.
It's not what I expected from an 80s action movie at all.
Mm. But it does start very easy action, you know. Mm. He's in there, and the reasoning might be different, but then as soon as he's escaping, I mean, that bike chase.
Yeah.
It felt like I was watching an episode of The Dukes of Hazzard, in a good way.
Yeah. And it's a good escape from the police station.
Yeah, the police.
See, I've had two cans and some vodka.
I don't think it maybe needed those flashbacks of Stallone with a porn tash.
Some of it does feel clunky.
Yeah.
And very shoehorned in.
Because we can tell.
Yeah.
But I suppose back no offense, 80s, but back then, sometimes they did really show and not just kind of expect us to know as an audience.
But also, I guess with 14 years hindsight, we've seen loads more Vietnam movies.
Yeah, absolutely right, actually. Maybe I'm being disingenuous. Oh, look at me.
You cunt.
Look at me with my vodka tonic saying disingenuous on a podcast.
It won't last. But the whole PTSD thing becomes sort of the main message of the movie, doesn't it?
Yes.
Which is a nice alternate way of doing the film. It's weird because he's not so much an anti-hero. I don't think there are any heroes in this. And I'm not sure that anyone's a real villain.
I think Rambo's just... I mean, he's your everyman.
He doesn't help himself, though, to be fair.
No. But then why should he have to?
I agree.
I mean, you're one of the most stubborn people I know.
I am not. How
if that sheriff
you?
Had said to you get out of town, I mean, when he pulled a gun, you probably would have gone, okay.
Okay.
But, yeah. But no, why should I go?
But exactly, why should he go? But...
I mean, you'd have gone and written the fucking mother of all emails later.
Or a cunty Facebook post. This fucking sheriff
told me to get out of
fucking
town.
Fucking douche.
Only wanted something to eat. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, actually, if it came down to food, then that'd be fucking trouble. I'd shoot the fucking place up just for a sausage sandwich.
But I did get diehard vibes throughout the whole thing. You think about John McClane, he's hurt, he's alone.
Yeah.
You know, it's when he was on the radio especially and talking to, you know, his old colonel.
Yeah.
I got diehard vibes and he's in that cave. I don't know, there was something very familiar, but something very new about watching it. And that's what I really liked. And it was a new 80s film, and it's always good to have a new 80s film.
Yeah. And I like the fact, for me, I got very much a sort of, almost a finger.
Oh, did you?
I got
Where did you watch the film?
Well, it was a very nice nightclub. So it was almost flipping the finger to the American establishment.
Uh-huh.
This is what you fuckers have created. You've taken this guy,
yeah.
You've trained him up to be this fucking killer, and then you've abandoned him when he's come home. And that's a really strong message.
So from what I understand, that Stallone really fought for that end, where he just broke down and said, "This is how I'm feeling." And apparently that resonated with a lot of people, as it should.
Absolutely.
And I'll be honest, when I saw that, I really, really, I thought he was great.
Mm.
And the second thought that came to my head is Darren's going to slate him.
Can I just read you what I wrote about
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
No, am I
wrong?
I feel a bit of a bitch for writing it, but that final speech, in the hands of an actor, it would have been heartbreaking.
Oh, no, Dad. I think he did really well with that.
I can understand what he was saying.
Well, then just...
I had to put the subtitles
on. You genuinely serious?
Seriously, it sounded to me like a cross between Bobcat Goldthwait and Serge. Especially when I'm like, legs! I couldn't find the legs! Yeah.
Oh, no. I really liked what he was doing.
Yeah. I just don't rate him. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a lovely guy. And when he's not talking, he's fantastic.
No. See, okay, for me, I really like him. And I've even written down here, Stallone was born to play these sort of roles. Mm-hmm. You know, these vulnerable, complex inside types that are, you know, they look one way on the outside, but on the inside, you know, they're just like Rocky. You look at Rocky, he's a little puppy inside.
He should be mute.
Oh, Jesus. I think he did really well in this, and I really enjoyed his performance.
Okay. I thought he was dreadful.
Well, I thought he was great.
Maybe I'm being disingenuous now, but I thought he was fucking shocking.
No, I think you're being harsher than maybe needed, because I mean, look at some of the actors that are around at that time. I think he did really well. And I don't mean that to pat him on the back and go, "Oh, didn't you do well, Sylvester?" I mean, I think he actually did quite a good job, you know? And he was certainly, you could see he was feeling the emotion. He was going for that.
I'd be interested to watch because the original cut, the first cut, was somewhere between 3 and 3.5 hours.
Oh, fuck,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and he tried to get rid of it.
He wanted to buy it, didn't he? Him and his agent wanted to buy it. It was that bad.
Mm.
And just destroy it.
Do you think there was more of him doing that sort of stuff?
Acting,
then,
yeah.
He just went, oh.
Acting. Yeah. That's He's very good when he's not speaking. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. That's a glowing endorsement. That can go on his next movie poster, can't it? Sylvester Stallone.
Very good when he's not speaking.
Darren and Matt's 80s Venture.
But I'm sure he's a really nice guy. No, don't come around and beat the piss out of me. I'm just saying, Sylv, maybe don't speak in any of your films.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And also, the man's had a career for decades now. I mean, look at some of the stuff.
It's mystifying, isn't it?
No, but some of the stuff he does is actually
really
good.
Is
no,
it?
It's
I've
not.
Never seen it.
Oh, I've not missed this. Fuck it.
Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have. Do you want to go straight to highlights and lowlights?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Stallone.
As your first highlight. Okay.
No, it's in, like, genuinely, it's no, as in, that is in with something else. I know it's probably your first highlight this week, because, anyway, I've just jumped in anyway. But the action. Oh my God, the action and Stallone specifically in those action scenes. I mean, it was a really, I mean, explosions.
Mm-hmm.
But there was even the quieter stuff where they're just walking and you're like, he's fucking out there somewhere.
Yeah.
I hope he didn't kill the dogs. I hope he just like...
Shot them in the leg. He wounded them.
Yeah.
And the rats, when he picked them up and chucked them in the bastard.
Yeah, but they were animatronic because they had a really big budget. They had that's why it pushed it from 15 to 17 million.
All of that liquid was the stuff they used in the Abyss.
Oh, yeah. That was it. Yeah, the action sequences were brilliant. I mean, the chase sequences. I mean, every action sequence was very different. You had a bit of Indiana Jones when he jumped onto the truck and get out and stuff like that. So I must say, one of the highlights for me was all those really different but well-sewn together action pieces. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's your first highlight.
Mm.
Okay. My first highlight.
Please stay
still. The action sequences.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought they were great. I thought the DOP used the locations fantastically well. The stuff with the helicopter when Galt is trying to shoot him when he's hanging off the side of the cliff is, I mean, you'd struggle to do. I mean, I don't, if they used lenses to make it look narrower, the gorge look narrower, blah, 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 blah. But that's quite a fucking dangerous sequence by the looks of it. And to have the helicopter hovering and going from side to side.
That's really difficult.
It's really dangerous, even now. So back then, it's fantastic. It's really, really well done. As I say, the locations are amazing. The fight scenes in the police station are really, really good. They're good fight scenes. Mm.
Didn't want to actually break his nose.
The guy with the plaster on his nose actually got elbowed in the face by him. But apparently that happens in the book.
Mm-hmm. So that's great.
Life imitating art. The bike chase, as you put, is great. The cliffside stuff, I just loved the action sequence. I thought it got a little bit cliched, a bit generic. At the end, when he was coming in, but that got a bit generic and a bit obvious and a bit silly. But that sort of did tread into 80s action movie, what you expect, territory. But everything else, I thought was really, really good.
I've just the little robe he's wearing throughout as well.
Did you read about that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
actually, that's found.
Cool. They just found it, and Stallone's kept it.
I still got it. Yeah, and that's the only bit of tarpaulin or whatever it was they found.
Yeah.
So they had to be really careful with it for the whole thing. Yeah, that's nice. That's I like that. That's pretty cool.
It's a great rewind costume.
You have to get the chin and the dead eyes.
Oh, for God's sake. What does this man do to you? Did he sleep with your mother or something like that?
I'm sure she'd be very happy if he did.
If I can change, you can change. Everyone can change.
Whoa.
What are you doing?
That's me being Sylph.
Sylph.
Quoting Shakespeare.
we got the first together.
Yeah.
All right, okay, second for me, the pacing.
Okay.
The actual pacing of the film. I think often films like this, especially something that's like 93 minutes long, you can really get the pacing off, but it jumps straight in, doesn't really waste any time. As you say, originally the whole cut was 3 odd hours. But I think editing it down to something really sharp, very pacey, straight in with the action. I did kind of wonder where they were going because he'd sort of beaten them at about 30 minutes in. I thought, well, I've got another hour. Where's it going
to
go after this?
He does say to the copper, doesn't he? Something like, leave it.
Yeah.
It's done.
Walk away. Yeah.
Don't cause a war that you can't win, or whatever the line is. I guess he's never going to, but why Rambo didn't then just fuck off? I don't know.
Yeah. It's really funny. I just love that everything that Brian Denny throws at the camera is like, yeah, well, he's going to have to order a lot of body bags and stuff like that. You know, it's. I mean, he really is he's not clearly overestimating Rambo's ability, but like 200 men, he's like,
200 body bags. Yeah.
Yet there's, at the end of the film, only one.
Only one.
So.
And whoever's in the police car.
And we don't know that. Maybe.
Well, the car exploded.
I mean.
Who knows?
Maybe it's explored in Rambo 2.
Nice cold explosions.
It's explored in Rambo 2. Maybe. It has a little flashback to in Rambo 1, these two cops getting out.
Oh, fucking hell.
Goodness me.
Oh, quick, your hair's on fire. Oh, shit. Oh, that's fine. I'm going home.
Right. Yeah, the pacing. The pacing was great.
Yeah, I agree with that. As I say, cutting it down, I think really benefits it. What the fuck did they do for another 2 hours?
I don't know.
Okay. thought you'd have done your research.
Oh, well, yeah. Bring up Sly. Do you mind if I have the rest of the footage? What now? Is he in the Muppets now?
Yes,
is he?
Yes. Anyway, it's cracking straight on. My second highlight is something we've already discussed as well. It's Brian Dennehy. I think he is superb. As I say, his characterization, I guess a lot of it was in the script and a lot of it was in the book. It's multi-layered. He's vengeful. He's aggressive, but he's also really weak as well. When Sly's got him with the knife to his throat and says, you don't want to cause a war that you're not going to win, he almost shits himself.
Yeah, you can almost imagine a little bit of pee going down his
leg. Exactly, exactly. He's quite vulnerable. I think he's very... Yes, he's an arsehole, but when he comes down the stairs and finds Galt, when they're trying to fingerprint him, and he whacks the... or whatever, threatening him to rip his arm off or whatever, he does say, enough.
Yeah.
So he's still the chief.
But he is still the prick that arrested him for nothing.
I agree. Yeah. I guess he's a bully boy who's used to getting his own way.
And they are perhaps trying to impress him.
Maybe. He definitely runs a shop full of dickheads. That's without a doubt for me. But I do find him... He's not just another ranting, screaming mentalist, if you like.
No.
Villain. The closest thing to villainy or villains, if you like, is, I guess, society.
Yeah.
And how they treated these veterans. But I do think his characterization and his performance in this movie is outstanding. I really do. I think he's superb.
Yeah.
Really.
No, he's...
I mean, I've always liked Brian Dennehy in pretty much everything I've seen him in.
We lost him a few years ago, didn't we? What, 2020?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it's not too long ago. And as we were talking about the original cut and the final cut of the first movie, apparently Sylvester Stallone was interviewed on Graham Norton,
right,
and said this is now his favourite film of the franchise.
Yeah. I will say I'm gonna go and watch more Rambo films.
Yeah, well, I've downloaded the box set of all of them.
Legally, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which you can do.
Yeah.
If you choose.
I mean, we've got two of these that we can cover, haven't we?
First Blood Part 2, yeah, definitely.
And Rambo 3, I'm pretty sure, was the 80s.
I've done nice, isn't it? Okay.
I think it was. I think it was, Daz.
Okay. Oh, crew. But anyway, that's my second highlight, Brian Dennehy.
88. Ooh. So we got three Rambo films.
Well, as we've planned already, this is maybe a little spoiler for things that are coming up in the future. Once we get to episode 100, which actually isn't that far away.
No, it's not.
We're going to have a look at some sequels for the first 10 episodes of the...
We've done some sequels, but we've never done a sequel to a film that we've done.
Yes. Yeah. What he said.
Yeah. All right, my third highlight.
Third highlight?
I thought it was...
Two.
I thought it was three.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
No, you crack on if you've got another one.
Oh, it's only a quick one.
Okay. That's what she said.
Yeah, I know, right? It's the survival aspect.
Okay.
I like that whole... It draws you in. It's a little bit like being on a Sunday night at home watching the A-Team, right?
Oh, right.
So, you know, when the A-Team go into a barn and they come out and they're driving this truck that's been done out, whatever else.
Get on a playful.
But yeah, he opens his knife. He's there stitching himself up. He's done this. He kills.
Which he apparently went into a local casualty department and said, "Does this look about right?" With the blood still pumping out of the tube.
Yeah.
And they went, "Oh fucking hell!"
So there we go. Sylvester Stallone, an actor that cares. So it was.
An actor that gets paid £2 million for this movie.
That's not bad in the '80s.
Exactly. He wanted $3.5 million.
I mean, it's not bad now, but he did get it on residuals, didn't he, with home video? But yeah. Anyway,
what if he pisses and moans about this one and the rights for the script?
Anyway.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. So was it a low light I had to go into then?
No.
We talked in the break, and I found it quite difficult. I think you did, to find stuff that we really didn't like. So if I'm being pinnickety, yeah, I think I was reaching here. I suppose I liked the end, but I maybe had hope for more of a big shootout in the town or something like that. But I still kind of left satisfied. So it's not really a low light. It was more of a, I suppose, managing my expectations of where the film was going to go. That's the thing. It was difficult to find something that I was like, that's not good. Because it was good.
Yeah.
And it was great. It subverted my expectations and went somewhere else that I completely expected it to go. So
I sort of agree. I actually would have liked, I think, for the franchise to have stopped there. Just be a standalone film, something completely unique, without all the, as we've said before, it does become a generic superhero, Superman.
Yeah. He's an action figure now. You know, they made Based on the novel,
it's a real hard-hitting indictment of society at the time.
Yeah. I mean, low lights that you've managed to scrabble together. Because again, I think we're scrabbling.
I am scrabbling. And I've made a few comments already in the podcast about my first low light.
Yeah.
And I do feel disingenuous because I don't think it's fair. But it is, it's Stallone when he's speaking. That final speech for me could have been absolutely heartbreaking. And it could have, it's one of those things that, you know, you imagine in your head, if it had been done phenomenally well, could have toppled some fucking, you know, government or something. Because it's such a damning, damning comment on how these people were treated by the people of this, of, you know, the country they were fighting for. But I just
are you trying to tell me, Stas, sorry, that Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, Nick Nolte, Paul Newman, Jeff Bridges could have done a better job?
You're trying to tell me, well maybe maybe three, two or three of those
right,
definitely would have. Can you imagine? I don't know. But he does play the part really, really well. He has that sort of brooding, not madman, but just... I don't know. I just think...
No, because also I think that was a good choice to not make him a madman, you know, you know, I'll kill you, you know, that sort of thing. It's
I think that... if Robert De Niro delivered that speech, it would have been Shakespeare. It would have been Moliere. It would have been something... It should have made me fucking bore my eyes out and reevaluate things. And it sounds really nasty to say it, and I don't mean to, because it is, I don't want to say it's just an action movie, but that, I think, with in a different actor's hands, would have elevated the film into something really special.
Well,
so for me, that was the low light.
This makes this a little bit awkward then.
Okay.
Right, so joining us live from LA, we have Sylvester Stallone on Zoom.
Hi, Sly, how are you doing?
Yeah, loved it.
Do the leg thing like Serge.
Oh, no. Okay.
I cannot. Legs.
I guess the only other thing, because I think sometimes we both look at this as actors and creatives and stuff, and I just wondered if maybe we could have fleshed out the Sheriff's Department. I mean, if we're going to make it maybe a bit more 80s generic action film, you could have fleshed out the Sheriff's Department a little bit more with the characters and making them a bit more maybe corrupt, or there's... You get that sense of these are bad people. But then again, you know.
I don't think they are. Like I said, I think it's the society that comes out of this as a villain.
I mean, this is completely me clutching at straws to kind of go.
I sort of don't want to flesh it out. I just think that final speech should have been, to quote David Tennant, so much more.
I really enjoyed what he did with that. So, but that's the great thing, isn't it? It's all subjective. I sat there and really...
Exactly. It's
horses, you know,
for
maybe
causes.
It was the vodka that I drank when I watched it. Maybe it wasn't. But
I'm not saying I didn't like the film.
I like him in the film as well.
I like him up to a certain point in the film. I think that's my thing with it.
Okay.
My second low light, again, is still clutching a little bit.
Yeah.
Is what I felt was a clunky handling of the PTSD. But again, I think that's because 40 years ago, there wasn't.
And that's how they would have dealt with it, I guess.
It was almost that sort of, almost the British thing, stiff up a lip and crack on.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know a lot about this. You know, I've had family that were away and doing stuff like that. I don't really know anything about it. I would like to hope and think that, you know, I think probably Vietnam was one of the worst periods in recent history that people can come back and be shoved back into society.
Without any help whatsoever, with no sounding board to go and say, how the fuck am I supposed to, you know, go to the spa shop and do my shopping when every night I'm dreaming of my, like he says, my friends' insides all over my hands.
Can I also compliment you that the fact that your character was in the 80s and went to the spa shop as opposed to just going to a modern...
Me, that's just life.
Yeah.
You come back into normal life because you are a shattered, broken person. Yeah, so for me, that was I felt it was clunky, a bit heavy-handed, but justifying that, it wasn't a thing 40 years ago like it is now.
But it's like even said to the colonel, he went, you know, there's no one left. Mm. No one's been in touch, basically. I just feel like I've been left by myself. And he said that on the radio, didn't he, before the end. And so that might just be a true representation of how it was.
And I think it is, yeah. And I think that definitely comes from the novel, which is why I going back to my previous point, I think the franchise should have stopped that. I don't think it should have been a franchise. I think it should have been a standalone film, and I think it would have been much more shocking to watch that now, to say, fucking hell, it was still happening. It was happening even then.
To be fair, this is definitely going to influence how we view Rambo 2, isn't it?
Of course, of course.
And I'm sure we'll pick
3
this up again.
And Rambo and...
No, I think we can stop at 3.
Oh, yeah, well, we have to. But in terms of the rest of the films in the franchise, if we just watch them outside of the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a thing. I don't watch films outside the podcast anymore.
Right, well, that's... sorry, that's... I feel I've rambled a little.
No, it's all right.
I've rambled a little bit.
Hey! Well, listen, let's grab some more drinks. Okay. And we'll come back and we've got to... Well, hang on.
The music?
Yes.
You forgot the music?
I forgot the music.
Jerry Goldsmith. I love Jerry Goldsmith.
Jerry Goldsmith is great.
He's a bit good, isn't he? This score is so over the top, cinematic, theatrical. I love it. I think it's superb. I really
do. It is a really good score, isn't it? And I'm right in thinking there's no other outside music used. It's just...
Well, there's that song at the end, isn't there? Over the end credits.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's... It's,
but it's no, it's no song from Over the Top, is it?
Meet me halfway. It does have that sort of cheesy 80s... It's the start of that sort of cheesy 80s feel.
I'm going to make a mixtape. With all of Sylvester Stallone's end songs or something like that.
And where are we going to play this tape?
In a tape player. I do have a tape player upstairs.
Yeah. There's no way I'm getting rid of mine.
No.
Anyway, back to the score.
Yeah. Jerry Goldsmith. I mean, he's a fucking legend.
Yeah, he is. He's responsible for things like the Star Trek franchise.
Were you about to say Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. I've just put my glasses on. Logan's Run, Planet of the Apes, Tora. Aliens.
You've done really well to memorize all this.
Thank you very much. I mean, who can forget the Gremlins rag?
I mean, it is brilliant.
Which we'll be doing soon.
Yeah.
Total Recall, Moolah, The Mummy. He was just a genius. And he was around, you know, for quite a while.
We've lost Jerry Goldsmith, have we?
In 2004.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, but you...
I'm a bit late to the party then. 18 years I've gone. Did we lose him?
Yeah. He's pretty cold now.
Shit.
But, you know, he worked with people like Robert Wise and Joe Dante, Richard Donner.
What's the thing, though? Because I've
Wiggly
seen
Scott,
the name...
your favourite.
But I've seen the name Goldsmith around for so long.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in so many... Well, he's worked on so many films. Mm. My God, shit. Yeah, he was born in 1929, Dan.
Yeah. But his score for this is so orchestral. It's really dramatic and melodramatic, and it works so well.
That's the pizza.
That's the pizza. Well, let's have a break then, shall we?
I think that's a good time for a break, yeah. And we're back. Part 3 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, where we are ruminating...
Yes. I did not...
Ruminating on Rambo.
Oh,
First Blood. First Blood, indeed. This is where we quiz each other.
Quiz all over each
other. Yeah, well, you know, let's face it. This block of 10. Mm-hmm. Is this the... What episode are we on? Episode
68.
Fucking hell. It feels like we've been in the 60s forever.
Yeah. Although next week. 69, dude. But yeah, as it stands... We've had 7 episodes so far. Let me just have a look and see what the score is.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You just sounded like Stallone delivering his final monologue.
It's 6-1 to me.
Oh, is it?
At the moment, right. So you've see, got a now, lot of work.
Here's the thing.
To put in,
no. Here's the thing. We had a chat before this started, and what Darren portrays on the podcast, you know, it's all sweetness and love, whatever else.
He basically
put his foot on my throat and said, I'm going to fuck you 9-1. Right? He was like, I want to basically...
I've never called you 9-1 in my life.
And, you know, so another person goes, oh, do you know what? I've won already. Let's go a bit easy on him. No, Darren went, yeah, I'm going to make sure I
didn't say I'm going to make sure.
Yeah, you did.
I said I really want to win 9-1.
You said that with a knife in your hand. So, you know, it's...
It wasn't a big knife, though, was it? It's only a little weapon.
Anyway,
it's time for the quiz.
That was the most half-hearted I've ever heard you say.
I tried not to do the accent,
but
sorry.
You still did it. But it's time for the quiz.
Eyes down for a full house. Now, being an even-numbered episode, I get to ask the first question.
Right.
So. What is... No, I won't do that one. That's too harsh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That surprised me. One of your questions are too harsh.
Go on. Okay.
Go on, slap me across the face.
I'll ask you a question first.
All right.
What's the name of the army truck driver that Rambo takes over?
Well, his given name or the name that he says on screen?
The name it says on screen.
Right, okay, because his given name... Is Percy, but he changed it to go into the army, and I don't know, Wilson?
No, it's Cathcart, Robert A.
Right.
One to me, fucking Percy.
All right, okay, question number one for you. Right, how many trees were in this film?
302,977.
Oh, you were so close. You were two out.
Oh, shit. Sorry, there's one to you then.
Right, okay. So, you're first. Actually, all my questions look a little bit easy in comparison to that one. Okay. All right, Em.
Yeah.
In the same vein, so the National Guard prick that was communicating with Rambo in the mine, what was his name?
Ooh. It was something like Colton or Colliton or Colliton. I'll say Colton.
You were really close.
Go on.
Lieutenant Clinton Morgan.
Ah, okay.
Who worked in the drugstore.
He was a dickhead.
He was a prat, wasn't he?
Yeah. They were all fucking dickheads.
Actually, that sequence did feel a little bit jarring because everything else felt a bit
it was
more
a bit
real.
Bumbling, idiot.
It felt
funny.
Like they were getting the cast of Stripes in to,
exactly.
to do a little bit.
That felt out of place.
It did feel out of place.
It's sort of, we're putting a bit of light relief here.
Yeah, where you've got the guy with the moustache who has the giant rocket launcher.
Going in there?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. Okay. In terms of the Cold War,
yes.
In what way did it make itself felt at the police station?
What the actual fuck is this question?
What else was the police station?
Oh, okay. The police station was also a nuclear fallout shelter.
Absolutely. One to you. So that's 2-1 to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You got a question right.
Thanks. How the fuck did that happen? How is that? Is that even mentioned, or is it?
Well, it's just a sticker on the door, isn't it?
What? Do you just sit and watch the film and then move frames forward?
Yeah. Yeah. You wait for your next one.
All right, then. What is on the structure / sign as you go into Hope?
Welcome to Hope.
No, the big structure around it, what is on that?
Welcome to Hope? Oh, then I don't know.
Gateway to Holidayland.
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, my God, it's 3-1 to you. Are you going to get one this week, pointlessly?
I love that. Are you going to get one this week? Pointlessly, yeah.
Fuck you, brilliant. Oh, no, which one do I go for then? What is the name of Hope's Steak and Pizza House?
That would be Mm-hmm. Hope's Steak and Pizza House.
No.
No.
The Godfather.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you might notice that as he was doing the bike chase thing. Okay.
No.
No.
I mean, I do normally notice Steak and Pizza Houses. But yeah, I was too enthralled in the bike chase.
Nice.
What's Rambo's middle initial?
J.
Correct.
My God, that's a three or tie. After three questions each, it's a tie. So we go into sudden death. We need a thing for that, don't we?
Yeah. I did. The thing is, my last questions are a bit rubbish and a bit easy. So
okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be 8-1.
What?
Or 7-1.
7-1. How does Troutman describe Hope?
Shitty. Backwater town? I don't know.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Jerkwater, USA.
So a question, you know, is reasonable as opposed to what does so-and-so say?
fuck yeah. Yeah, because that's unreasonable, isn't it? One of the main characters saying something.
What's Rambo's call sign?
I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear it. It's something like... No, I've no idea. Deer Hunter. No idea.
It's a...
Yeah.
No, it's Raven.
Okay. 4. Ooh. After 8 questions, it's 4 all.
I almost asked that instead of, like, what's his initial?
Oh, you could have won if you did.
I know.
Idiot.
I love you, mate. I really do.
I love you too. Okay, so question 5 for you. During the bike chase, Tweezle says they're heading east of Smith's Farm. Heading where?
I haven't got this as a question. I almost asked this as a question for you.
Okay.
Something like, I won't get it, so I'm just going to stab a guess at it's something like Carlton's Ridge or something like that. It's something like that, though, isn't it?
It's something like that. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Chaplin's Creek.
Okay. I knew it had a C.
Yeah. Carlton's Ridge.
Carlton's Ridge.
That sounds filth.
All right, then. Mm-hmm. Who's painting the hall?
Oh, that's a good question. I have no idea. So I'm going to have to guess at Bob. No idea.
Leroy.
Leroy, okay.
Apparently he's taking 10 years to paint the hall.
Okay.
Shit, I'm running out of questions very quickly.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, this doesn't matter too well in the respect you've won this round, so.
What's the name of the hotel opposite the police station?
I genuinely don't know, actually.
It's
I did, I've got a bit of a fuzz on, so.
It's the Hope Motel.
Fucking hell. I mean, I should have taken a stab at that, shouldn't
you
I?
Should have, really.
All right. I mean, I think you'll get this.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason for this film. Who is Rambo visiting at the start of the film?
Delmar.
Delmar.
Oh, I don't know his first name. Just Delmar. Mr. Delmar. I really don't know. Just Delmar.
I didn't know if it was first and last and first, but Delmar Barry, apparently.
Okay.
You can have that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
We can keep going.
All right, let's keep going then.
All right. Okay. All right. So that's 6 each after 12 fucking questions.
Yeah. If you're still here, well done.
Okay.
I mean, my last two are easy. I mean, it's like that thing, isn't it? Oh, these questions are so easy.
Yeah, we know how that fucking ends up, don't we?
Well, I don't. I was in the Canaries at the time. Anyway, that's another story.
All right, what's the name of the drugstore opposite the police station?
The Hope Drugstore.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
No, Scott's Drugstore.
But why? Clinton works there.
Oh, fucking hell. That's too funny. I'm sure nobody at home is laughing, but that is fucking hilarious. Oi, oi, oi. Oi, oi, oi.
Okay. where does Rambo say he's headed?
Portland.
Yes.
Oh, fucking come on. Wow.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a battle.
Yes.
8-6. Oi, oi, oi. Thank fuck for that.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was running out of questions.
Yeah, me too. I've only got, I think, one left.
Okay.
You didn't answer the trees question, but that's fine.
Was that seriously a question?
No, no, no. It
wasn't. I was going to say, how did you know?
The Hope Truckster.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, shit. Right, so I've got a few questions. Name two of the people that were in the photograph that he gave to the woman.
Negative.
You had Rambo, Danforth, Westmore, Bronson, Ortega, and Delmar.
Yeah, I looked at that and I thought, no, I'm not going to remember that.
What was he arrested for?
Vagrancy.
And?
Resisting arrest.
And?
Reach around.
Carrying a concealed weapon.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Where did Rambo try to find Troutman?
I can't remember the place. They did talk about it, yeah.
Bragg,
that's it.
What caused Delmar's cancer?
The Orange...
Agent Orange.
Yeah, Agent Orange.
That's it. That's all the questions I had.
I've got... the last one I've got is, what breed of dog did the sheriff request?
Doberman.
Yeah. I knew you'd get that, because you're a dog person.
Yeah, I'm a doggy man.
You're a doggy man. You're the doggy man, right? Wow. That was a battle, wasn't it? It was a fun battle.
That's it. Oh, yeah. 7-1 at the end of that. I love the fact you are such a good loser.
Well, let's face it, Darren. It's been like 2 years.
Well, all I'm saying is put in a bit more effort.
Pause it when he's riding past the drugstore.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Or the Godfather.
So not just enjoy the film. Pause it while they're...
Yeah.
So, yeah, brilliant.
Fucking hell. Bitch,
you may win the quiz, but I'll get more out of the film.
Your mum. Anyway, should we... I guess that's last orders at the bar.
Yeah, fucking right it is. Burning the bar down in a minute.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar. Okay, so there we go. That's our review and our views on 1982's First Blood.
Can you just, by the way, if you get a second, listener.
You talking to me or no. The listener?
The listener. The one listener.
Yeah.
Can you maybe go back to the start and listen how sensible we were and then come right back to this point and go, yeah, they've had some beers by then. Yeah, so anyway, carry on.
I can't remember where I was. Oh, yes, that's our look at First Blood from 1982. I guess it's time to sum up and give it a score.
Yeah.
Now, being an even-numbered episode, I go first. My sum up really is...
Scott's Drugstore.
I liked it. I really did. I thought it was an interesting take on the action movie genre. I thought it was very clever. I thought it was very heartfelt. I also thought it was a real sort of... Maybe I'm looking too deep into things, but almost like Frankenstein. He's almost Frankenstein's monster.
There is...
there are definite parallels.
No, there is also comparisons that there's been articles written on that. And I think there was something on IMDb that said something similar. Yeah,
okay.
He has been created and set
exactly.
out.
Troutman has created this fucking monster.
Yeah.
Who's now just left to his own devices and is roaming free in society. I thought that was a really interesting take on what would become the norm, if you like, with your Predators and your Terminators.
Commando.
I liked the fact that when he was in the mine, there's that sort of thing of him being at rock bottom and having to work his way up and being reborn, coming up through the earth. And then he is hell-bent on revenge. So he leaps onto the thing. I liked that.
You got very poetic. I like it.
Sorry.
No, I like it.
As we said before, I didn't like the goon section with the fucking
That was
National
weird,
Guard.
Wasn't it?
It
just, yeah.
It really stuck out like a sore thumb for me. I like the fact that he's not just another Arnie type. He's a victim. His flashbacks and the shaving thing sets him off. He has a real not an agenda, but he has a reason for being like he is. Mm. And I really like that. And I think it's a very clever, I think it's really well made. It sounds fantastic. Most of the acting is amazing. Yes, there's a few bits that are a bit silly, convenient, finding things in the wood that he can use to attack the police. And I think the end becomes a little bit formulaic. But I really, really enjoyed it. And for
can
me,
I just today, before you give your score,
yeah.
Is it formulaic or did it start the formula?
That's exactly it. And maybe that scene where he's attacking Teasel in the station, blowing up everything around him. Yeah, I guess so. I think you're probably right. So, but I really enjoyed it and I really liked it. Apart from, I think, some of Stallone's failings are brought to the fore because of what the role demands. But I don't think it detracts from the film at all. And I'm going to give it an 8.
Wow. Nice.
That's a really clever take on the action genre.
Great. Okay. Well, just to follow that up, I mean, worse than ever, I'm giving it a 0. Listen, next week, we are looking at... No. But to follow on from what you were saying, I've kind of had a little bit of revelation while we're doing this as well. I always had this thing, you know, back in the, you know, when you're growing up, you got Arnie Stallone. Mm. Actually, without a film like Rambo, which I, forgive me if I'm wrong, I could be completely wrong, it seems to have spawned, you know, the things that could exist afterwards, like Commando, which was 3 years later, like Predator, which was 4 years later. Mm. So actually, without Stallone doing this film.
But they are very much sort of, not tongue-in-cheek, but they're very much over the top, aren't they?
But maybe
this isn't.
But that's the thing. So maybe, you know, people, the Hollywood producers, they took what they thought was like, this is what's working in Rambo, and we'll put it in this film.
But then, to be fair, you did have Deliverance before, which is set in the same sort of environment and becomes the same sort of revenge thing.
But as 80s sort of explosion-y, blockbuster-y action films go, I mean, I'm ashamed of myself to say I'd never watched it until last week.
Likewise.
Because it is good. And it does make, it is different. It is better than perhaps, you know, it allows itself to even, what it became afterwards, you know, Rambo 2, Rambo 3, Rambo 4, John Rambo and Rambo Last Blood and all this sort of stuff, you know, Rambo, I need a new house. Whatever it's become.
Rambo, I'm pissed off because I don't have the rights to Rambo or
Rocky. Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, that being said, I really like it. And, you know, different to you, I really like what Stallone does here. I've grown up with him being Rocky, and now I get to properly meet Rambo. Because I don't think I've ever seen a Rambo film. I've seen Hot Shots. And I've seen taking the piss out of Rambo and that. But it is great. I really enjoyed it. And I think for the first time in quite a while, we're on exactly the same page. And I really liked it. And I liked the twist at the end. I'm giving it an 8.
Awesome. I'm glad we agreed, but also disagreed on certain points.
We disagreed on certain points, but I think the whole thing about the film, we completely agreed on.
It's a very good film.
It's a great film.
I know I've said it already in this podcast. I'm just going to say it one more time because I'm a bit pissed. I wish it had stopped at this. As a standalone movie, it would have been such a social commentary.
It would, but quite glad I get to go on the journey with Rambo.
Yeah, but then I know it's going to become something else.
I know it is. But then that's the thing is, we've got very different opinions on sequels and reboots, because we've always got the original.
Doesn't exactly,
you can just ignore the second and third if you want to.
And I think David Morrell deserves fucking plaudits for identifying for putting PTSD as it now is front and center 40 years before, or 30 years probably before it became the thing.
And you actually wouldn't imagine that from a Rambo film.
No, not at all.
I suppose from what Rambo films became. I was about to say become, you said became, and I just jumped onto that. Anyway, all right then, so there we go, 16 out of 20. Yeah.
And I can't wait to actually go back and watch it again.
Yeah, and I almost watched part two. But what I didn't want to do was muddy the waters before we recorded.
Likewise.
And I thought, I was going to go straight into part two that night. I was like, nope, because if I do, then I'm going to get a very different commentary.
It's going to become, from what I remember, a generic action movie.
Yeah, and I didn't want certain scenes from two to bleed into one and me kind of be sat here going, yeah, but when they said this, I'm like, oh, no, no.
I am curious to see what was in the 3.5 hour, three to three and a half hour original cut. Yeah. I'm guessing that would never happen.
There's a scene where he licks a frog and he goes into a dream sequence. No, but but yeah, there we go. That was Rambo.
That was First Blood.
I've enjoyed this. It's been a while since we recorded. Like, I mean, obviously you're going to hear last week to this week, but actually, since we physically sat down and recorded, it's been a while.
Yeah, but we are back,
and we've got a little bit tiddly tonight.
Just a little bit.
Well, cheers. Hang on. All right.
Oh, fucking hell!
Drop that. So, would you like to know what's happening next week, Darren?
No, I don't fucking care.
No.
Go on, then.
Right, the tagline for next week's film. I mean, bear in mind, this isn't strictly a Christmas film, but it's got a Christmas feel to it.
Oh, we're into Christmas time now.
Oh, we are. We are
Christmas time, vodka and wine.
Not the lyrics, but I appreciate what you're saying. So we will be releasing next week. It's kind of Christmassy, but it's the end of November, and then we've got every Sunday leading up to our Christmas Day film.
We're going
to
have a Christmas Day episode!
Yes, we are! Exactly! I mean, what are you going to do? Sit down on Christmas Day, have your roast dinner, and then maybe listen to Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure Christmas Special.
The King's Speech.
I've just announced Christmas Special, by the way, but...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll call it a Christmas Special.
Yeah, we'll call it a Christmas Special. Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing for it. But...
I don't know, get pissed.
Okay,
yeah. All right.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
We need to do a live special at some point.
Oh, Jesus. Imagine that.
We need to be very
careful. Well, we started recording 4 hours ago. But yeah, you're right. We get a King's Speech this year. Next week.
Yeah.
Tagline for next week's film. If these two can learn to stand each other, the bad guys don't stand a chance.
That's just us. What's the tagline?
We love each other, man. We've known each other 30 years.
Bored.
Not 30.
It's pretty close, though.
Yeah.
Pretty goddamn close, goddammit.
Yeah. So there we go. Any ideas what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you do. Because we talked about it earlier. About it, but yeah.
I'm getting too old for this shit.
We got the... nice. All right, then. So that has been our delve into Rambo. We hope you've enjoyed it as much as we've enjoyed talking about it. So as always, please feel free to get in touch. So we've got podcasts at 8thAdventure.com. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. And yeah, we always like to hear from you guys. And that is pretty much us for today. So Daz, anything else?
Legs.
Until then. So until next time, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy!
Sorry, the microphone's drooping like that.
Shove it into the stand a bit more.
I need to shove it in.
Push it in. So, yeah, for me, it's the pacing.